Let's talk about giving. I'll let y'all off easy on tithing. Just know I'm a believer. Giving. I think the best scripture we could use is what we got from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, but I'll give you another one. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 says, "Command those that are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God." We talked about that earlier, God being our source, "who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." Now, this is a great balance scripture because God wants us able to give, but he also wants us to enjoy life. And so his blueprint will keep the balance right, and I think that's so important. "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." What a great scripture. What a great balancing scripture. God wants us in a position to give. And look, giving is more than here. Scripture indicates that giving is eternal. And so when I'm looking at where to give, I like to invest eternally. And we taught this one time, and I felt like it really went over everybody's heads. Maybe we just weren't ready for it yet. But I like to look at where my investment's going to go. Am I investing in things that are eternal, which is people? It's people. And so you might think about that. Those of you who think about giving, I like to look at the record of people. How many people are they getting saved? How many lives are they changing? I like to look at those things before we make giving. The next thing we want to talk about is work. Work is not a curse. Amen. I know this is a great shock, but work is not a curse. You can go to Genesis 2:15, and he looks at Adam. This is before man fell, and he told man, "This is your earth. I'm giving it to you. Work it." When you look the scripture up, that's actually what it means. You work it. You dress it. You keep it. Go to work. It's not a curse. You know what? If you don't like your job, if you hate your job, then let's get a plan. Instead of cursing our job, I don't mean cussing it. I mean cursing it with our words. We hate our job. We hate our boss. We hate our supervisor. We hate what we do. We don't want to get up in the morning and go to work. Instead of cursing our work, which is actually a blessing to us because it's giving us money, it's giving us seed. It's a way God uses to get seed into your hands. It's not your source, but it's a source for your seed. Why don't we get a plan to change it? Who in here went back to school after they had a family? Oh, look at this. Y'all are beautiful. That's beautiful. Let's get a plan. Hate your job, get a plan. That's what we're going to put under work. Get a plan. There's a blueprint of God, and it includes work. You can go to Deuteronomy 28, and you can find out that it's included in the blessing. Work is included in the blessing. He said he would bless everything that you set your hands to do. That means your hands need to be doing if you want a blessing. So that's work. Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but idle talk leads only to poverty." You ever known people that talked about what they were going to do? That's idle talk, Ed. That's idle talk. It leads to poverty. But those who get in there and do it, that's the word labor, who get in there and do it, there's profit. Let's quit talking about what we're going to do, and let's make a plan for it, and let's put it into action. Proverbs 6:6, he gives some great wisdom. He says, "Go to the ant." And I kind of hate this word, but I'm going to say it. You sluggard. The Bible doesn't mix words, does it? It's not politically correct. "Go to the ant, you sluggard, and consider its ways and be wise." The ant has no commander, no overseer or ruler. It doesn't have somebody telling it, "You do this. Go to work. Don't take such long breaks. Do this." It doesn't have a commander or overseer. It does what needs to be done. "Yet it stores its provisions in the summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come. It'll come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man." Work. Work shouldn't be a dirty word. It's a good word. God put gifts and talents, abilities that He's graced each one of you with, each one of us with. There's things in us that can bring profit in our lives, that can bring blessing in our lives. I think we got to tap into that instead of just taking jobs. And this might be for the younger generation that doesn't have a job yet. And I know sometimes we say, well, just take a job. Well, if you need to pay the bills and you have to take a job, take a job. But have a plan. Have a plan to do what you love to do. If you do what you love to do, you don't go to work. You're going to do it. I love what I do. I don't have to work. For some reason, love standing up here looking at y'all. I love what I do. I hope it shows that I love what I do. So that's a great day when you get up and you go do what you love to do. What is that? And how can God use that to bring financial blessing? I believe He has a blueprint for it if we'll listen to Him, don't you? Work. It is a God thing. Diligence. Diligence has become a lost virtue. It really has. If you're diligent, you're rare. But it's a blueprint in God's financial freedom plan. And I believe that we need to work on our diligence. Proverbs 10, it goes right along with work, but diligence even goes beyond that. I remember Dad teaching on prosperity, you know, back when I was growing up, and he would have this list. Maybe I need to find it somewhere. He would have this list on how to save money. Now, this is huge revelation. Turn off the lights. You leave a room, turn off the lights. He would have that on the list. And my pa, he would quote my pa, and he would say, the hand that turned it on can turn it off. You like that, John? John knew my pa. He's family. The hand that turned it on can turn it off. Look, we've lost a lot of common sense. There's money lying around our homes. There's areas of waste. Cook! It's a novel idea. Cook! Cook at home. Don't buy it in a package. If you buy it in a package, see dollar signs. If it's in a box, that's dollar signs. Cook. If you're struggling with money, buy you a big old bag of rice and a big old bag of beans. And let me tell you, you can eat off that a while, and it didn't cost you but a couple of bucks, and you can feed your whole family. If you need help cooking big for less or cooking small for less, Tanya can help you. Raise your hand, Tanya, right in front of the sound booth. Mary can help you. Raise your hand, Mary. Mary feeds a crew. Who else is good at cooking cheap? Making something out of it. Raise your hands. Because we need to know these things. Cook. Be diligent. Look. Look. Look around you and see where can we cut spending? Where is money going out that it doesn't have to go out? This is diligence. It's called watching over your flocks. It's found in Proverbs 27:23. Be sure to know the condition of your flocks and give careful attention to your herds. Now, I don't have a flock or a herd yet, but I've got sheep coming because I've got land and sheep are coming, and Rusty's fighting me on it, but we're going to see who wins this faith fight. Robbie, keep it quiet, man. What happens? He's duck hunting today, so if it happens in the four walls, we keep it in the four walls. He wasn't here. He doesn't get to know what I said about him. Rusty's a great guy. You know he'll let me have whatever I want. But watching over your flock or watching over your herd means watching over your business. Watch over your business. Watch over your bills. Shop your insurance. That's diligence. When we read scriptures about diligence, I don't know what we have in our heads. Shop your insurance. How long has it been since you shopped your insurance? That's watching over my herd. I don't know. These are simple things. They matter. Give due diligence to your finances. Be diligent at work. Proverbs 10:4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. What is that? What does that mean to you? Am I dealing with a slack hand? You know, one thing I see real positive about this grocery pickup, where you order online and you go pick it up, there is no telling how much money that would save my mom. I told her the other day, I said, because I go out there on my lunch hour, you know, and visit with Dad, and she goes to the grocery store because she cooks. She does cook. I said, Mom, you could go online, order your groceries, drive right up, pop the trunk, they load it up. She said, oh, no, I've got to shop. I've got to go up and down the aisles. I've got to look. Okay, that's fun, and she can afford to do that, but here's the deal. That could be dealing with a slack hand for us because we throw things in that buggy that we don't need. Just go in your pantry and look around. All that stuff in there, more if it wasn't bought in the last 30 days, was you throwing something in a buggy that you didn't need? Add it up. See what's there. I bet we'd be surprised because I've got a pantry and it's full. I'm always having to rearrange it. Some of it's been in there a while. I probably ought to need to check the dates on some of it. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent, it maketh rich. Being diligent will make you rich. Being diligent will make you rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. What is that saying? I'll tell you how my pa would have said it. Make hay while the sun is shining. When it's there to be gathered, gather it. When the work is there, do it. And I realize there's balance and there's wisdom, but this is the book of Proverbs. It is the book of wisdom. When the work's there, do it. The next one being wisdom. Diligence and then wisdom. I think this is the biggest part of our problem. I think we work. I think you're diligent people. I think wisdom is where we miss it a lot of times. Because how many of you are getting your W-2s about right now? Raise your hands. Okay, anybody that has a job, who's getting paid, you're getting this little piece of paper, and on that you're going to see something real shocking. You're going to see what came into your hands. How many of you ever look at it and go, where is that? Did they get the name wrong on this piece of paper? Because I made this amount, and then you look at your checking account, your bank account, your investments. Sometimes it's a great time to look at that and say, okay, where did that go? Because it's not what we make, it's what we do with what we make. Henry Underhill, quote him. It's not what we make, it's what we do with what we make. The generation above my parents' generation, my Uncle Henry and Ethel, my granny, my pa, Aunt Nina, Uncle Earl, that whole bunch, they were wise. Oh my goodness, they were wise. We need their wisdom. We need to go back. We need to read that generation. We need to study that generation, the greatest generation. Uncle Henry was a school teacher. Somewhere I probably have his paperwork on what he made. They left an inheritance. I'm going to say for their children's children. They didn't have children, but for their nieces and nephews and their great nieces and nephews off of a teacher's salary. As the scripture would say, Selah. Let's pause and think on that. It's not what you make. It's what you do with what you make. He loved what he did. Anybody in here have Henry Underhill in school? Russellville? Mom did. Be that generation. Oh, if you had him, you loved him. Because he did what he loved. He left an inheritance to his children's children. I think that's fascinating. Oh, I just don't make enough money to invest. No, we haven't blueprinted our finances to have enough money left to invest. So let's take a step back. Let's do what we talked about earlier. Let's leave a little room so that we can plan for our futures. Wisdom. Proverbs 21:17 says, "He who loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and oil will never be rich." Verse 20 says, "In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor." What are we looking for? Are we looking for pleasure, or are we looking for life, prosperity, and honor? We live in a world, and this is one of the signs of the end times. Remember, we've studied this before. One of the signs of the end times is men are going to be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Oh, what's going to make my flesh feel good? Well, you know, that car is going to make your flesh feel good. At least for what, 30 days? Until that car payment comes in? We've all felt that way. Dad used to call that a false peace. When you go look at, I had peace about it. Well, let's not call it peace. You had lust after that car is what you had. You know? Think about the future. Use wisdom. What kind of position is this going to put me in? Is this going to leave me with options and with choices? Is this life? Is this prosperity? And is this honor? That's a good way to make our decisions off of those things. You know, James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, ask. And I think a lot of times when we want something, we don't want to ask. We don't want to ask wisdom. But we are way better off getting it at the front end rather than getting it at the back end. This is true biblical success. This is financial freedom. And you can get there. I don't care where you are. You can get there. God's plan will work no matter where you are on the debt scale. But we got to start. Amen. I want to give you some resources. Of course, you know I'm going to say Dave Ramsey. I don't care what you think about Dave Ramsey. I've read and looked over his stuff. Charlotte has studied his stuff intensely. If you need more information about what she's found good, Charlotte's always willing to share. And Charlotte is a great budget setter. And she works here in the office. She is willing to set an appointment with you and to help you make a budget. Let's get out of debt. Let's get a plan. Let's work it. Now, it's January. Now's the time to do it. So if you need that from Charlotte, call the church office. Say, I need to talk to Charlotte. She's great at that. She can also help you with Dave Ramsey resources. They work. We taught a lesson not too long ago called Prosperity Practicalities, where we went through the nuts and bolts of using our heads and common sense. That's available online. Free. You can listen to it online. Bob and Charlotte taught, I think it was last year, on getting out of debt. I don't remember what they called it, but if you call the office, Charlotte can find that for you. Getting out of debt. Different ways, different methods of getting out of debt. If you're to the point of investment, Mark put me on a good book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He has a series of books, this guy does. And so if you look up Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you can kind of figure out which one fits you. And also, I always love The Wealth Conundrum because it really stretches you once you are debt-free. It really stretches you on the giving end, and living the life of a giver really stretches your brain. Talks about, I believe it was Mr. Penny, who would tithe 90% and live off 10%. I love that stuff. When you can give more than what your paycheck is, it's a good day. You're doing something. And I believe God loves that too, don't you? Money is spiritual. Don't walk out of here and say, what on earth does this have to do with God? It has a lot to do with God. There are thousands of scriptures that have to do with prosperity, that have to do with work, that have to do with tithing, that have to do with giving. Basically, I believe there's over 2,000 that have to do with money. That means it's important. There is definitely a connection between money and your heart. The scripture teaches that. If God has your money, he has your heart. We are all familiar with Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Follow the money, you'll find a person's heart. And it better be God, family, and people. That needs to be where the money trail leads to. We could go a whole lot further, but let's start something. Let's not just say, oh, I hate debt. What's the plan? What is the plan? And you're going to find a life of freedom when you get there. It's a beautiful place to be. Your options, your choices, and God can just send things your way when he needs finances. And it's just beautiful to be able to say, yes. That's what we all want to be, right? Yes.